Farm Talk here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. All right, we are going to revisit an important visit we had while at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, the Farmers for Free Trade folks, their executive director, Angela Hoffman, and
Montana farmer, Michelle Erickson-Jones. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. And your farm is where?
We are just north of Billings in Broadview, Montana.
Broadview. All right. So you raise a little bit of wheat then?
Yep. We raise quite a bit of wheat, malt barley, a little bit of safflower, sunflowers, corn, alfalfa, and then we also have a cow-calf operation.
All right. And what color cows you got?
We got black cows.
All right. And they've been good to you, right?
Yep, they have.
Yeah. And this winter a little better than the last couple of winters as far weather-wise, right?
Oh, far better than the last couple of years. Last year, this time, it was 40 below, and there was a couple feet of snow, and this year, it's a lot better than that.
Yeah, which is kind of the way it works out on the high plains of the upper Midwest or the northern Great Plains. It's either terribly snowy or it ain't.
Yeah, we've had a couple of horrible winters in a row, so it's nice to have a little bit more of an open winter.
Yeah. Why are you involved in Farmers for Free Trade?
So I've been a farmer spokesperson for Farmers for Free Trade for a couple of years now, and it's a really important group to advocate for the importance of trade, and we do a lot of grassroots work on. We talked to a lot of producers. They did an entire bus tour that traveled the country and talked to producers all over the country about the importance of USMCA, and we give an opportunity for farmers to connect with their congressional members and for congressional members to connect to their constituents and just talk about how important it is for agriculture.
And for 2 years, you've been nose to the grindstone on that. And I bet it was really frustrating for a lot of the last half of 2019. What's the holdup? But it finally happened.
Yeah, it finally happened. It was really nice to see. I was actually in Washington for a couple events and got to watch the hearing when they marked it up in the House Ways and Means Committee. And so it was really, really great to finally see it come to an end for all the work that we had put into it, all the, you know, the advocacy and all the work that farmers had did talking about how important it was to see it come to fruition and be signed by the president a couple weeks ago.
What will it do for you in Broadview, Montana?
Well, in Broadview, Mexico is actually the number one customer for your Montana barley. It's a huge market that we have built up. About 80% of our barley goes to Mexico. It is actually malted locally in Great Falls for the most part by Modelo and Constellation Breweries, and then it is shipped to Mexico where it's processed, and then it comes back up here and popular brands like Dos Equis and Corona. And so that is a crucial market for us and for wheat producers overall. Mexico is our number one market. Out of North Dakota, Montana, the Pacific Northwest, most of our wheat goes to Japan, but it is essential for us that we have Mexico as a top customer for our Southern Plains counterpart so that they have their top market as well.
So all of these classy beers that guys are drinking, the Corona, the Dos Equis, and Modelo, that's your malting barley is in there, huh?
Yep, that is a lot of Montana's malting barley. I've got friends that have contracts directly to them that I can probably point you out to the farm. Certainly can point you to the farmer that has raised some of the barley that's in those beers. So and there's been a lot of them down here at Commodity.
Yes. And so it might be a Mexican beer, but it's a Montana malt. Huh?
Yep. It supports Montana farmers, and it also supports a couple of the malt houses in Great Falls and some local employment. So yeah. It's an important deal for our global supply chains.
How about the phase one? Did you work on the phase one, or did you lobby on behalf of getting a deal done with China?
Yeah, definitely have. I have actually testified in front of the International Trade Commission on the Section 301 hearings and in Congress at the Ways and Means Committee. And we've talked a lot on China in phase one and how important it is for a lot of commodities. You know, there's still a lot of uncertainties, but there's hopefully, you know, they will come in with some of the purchases that they've agreed to and that they will make some of the structural changes that they've agreed to, because there are some pretty important structural changes in that deal that have the potential to open up our markets further, especially in terms of wheat. Which China is not a huge customer of wheat, but they have the potential to be, and a lot of that will come out of North Dakota and Montana and the Pacific Northwest because they're looking for quality. So So there's some, you know, there's still a lot of questions surrounding phase one and the impact of coronavirus, but there's some things in that deal that we're certainly optimistic about.
Why get involved in an organization like Farmers for Free Trade?
It's essential that we have farmer voices. And, you know, every time I've been in Washington, they love to hear from farmers, whether you travel there or whether you can send them an email, be out on social media. It's crucial that you talk about how important trade is to your farm, that you can break down the numbers and say 80% of my wheat is exported. 80% of our farm wheat is exported. So every check we get, 80% of it is due to exports. And that's an essential story that agriculture has to tell. And just like everything in agriculture, we're only 2% of the population. So we need to have an even more amplified voice to make sure that everyone understands just how important trade is to the success of our farms, whether you're a first generational farmer, a fourth generational one like myself, or, you know, you're on your eighth generation, it doesn't really matter. We have to have trade to be successful.
Switch headphones here and visit with the co-executive director for Farmers for Free Trade. Angela Hoffman joins us now. Hello, Angela.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes. Again, you have farmers working with you and for you, and the USMCA, met you at Farm Fest last summer, and I guess it was USMCA is a win, huh?
It's a huge win. In fact, we're thrilled to be here today because last year at Commodity Classic, we were signing up farmers to stress the importance to their members of Congress across the country. And then we actually completed an almost 22,000-mile road trip across the country. We actually stopped at a number of the farms through folks who we met right here at Commodity Classic and had great events, bipartisan, nonpartisan events in their districts, really stressing the importance not only to the farm but to the industries that are reliant. So whether it was the banker or the implement dealer or more, we had a chance to talk about the local importance of global trade. And we're very excited to be here today because we're thanking those members of Congress for the largest bipartisan vote we've ever seen in trade history.
All right. So you've had a couple of successes. The USMCA phase one is done. What is next? What's the next hurdle to leap for farmers and Farmers for Free Trade?
Well, you know, let's keep in mind that ag has always been a positive in terms of a trade surplus, right? So we're going to be leaning in heavy to opening up additional new markets. You know, we've had some great success, and USDA opened up Japan this last year as well. So getting into a phase two with Japan and working on some of those more technical barriers to trade, you know, encouraging us to find new markets in perhaps Europe and other places in Southeast Asia. So we're going to see a lot of market opening support. You know, we're going to continue to talk about trade. You know, we tend to see it in Washington to be sort of a bit of a trade gobbledygook. But at the end of the day, it's about selling good products, reducing your costs, and making sure that you have trusted trading partners. And we're really going to keep being out in the field, letting others know that ag is at the epicenter of trade, why it's important, and as Michelle mentioned, it's not a spectator sport. We need everyone involved in continuing to tell that story.
All right. Well, how do farmers join the club and start telling that story?
Well, we really encourage them to log onto our website at www.farmersforfreetrade.com. You can actually even go on your phone and upload a video. Stand in the middle of your field and tell your story. It's a 30-second voice of the farmer exercise. You can write an op-ed or contact us, and we can help you amplify your voice as well throughout the country.
Are you on social media?
We are, and you can find us at Farmers for Trade and follow us on Twitter. We're also working on tariff campaigns as well. So this continues to be an area where, again, we need agriculture to bring members of their community together too, to talk about the importance of trade and keep it at first and foremost that agriculture matters. We need to have them always at the table just as much as we need manufacturing and more.
The work never stops for you, does it? I mean, there's always, like farmers, it's been one thing after another the last 2 years. For you, same thing, huh?
We've been on the road, but, you know, we've met some of the best folks in the entire world. You know, I'm a Wyoming/Montana gal, and it's just immensely powerful to be able to work with the people who benefit the most, but also feel the effects of trade, and certainly the effects of this trade war have been very difficult as well this year. And so it's just been an immense honor to work with folks in their hometowns, in their districts, beyond the Beltway. And we're excited. So for us, it's a labor of love because it's worth telling those stories. We're here at our booth in Commodity Classic urging folks to come by and thank their member of Congress. And it's really exciting when we're able to see something again accomplished and get involved in the process.
Okay. In the meantime, how do farmers join Farmers for Free Trade?
www.farmersforfreetrade.com.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you very much, Angela Hoffman, co-executive director of Farmers for Free Trade.
Thank you.
You bet.